Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. And by Atlassian, unleash your team's potential with collaborative software tools like HipChat and Jira, which enable you to work and communicate better together. Visit Atlassian.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 258, recorded on Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason L.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Wow. We need a marching band.
That's very. Yeah.
That's what we need for that. That was very joyous. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I survived the awfulness of South by Southwest.
The awfulness? South by Southwest.
No,
you didn't have a fun time.
Not
you don't
fun.
Eat at Gordo's, the donut house?
No. Last time I was there was 2007 or 2008. That photo I posted on Facebook when you, me, and Tom Merritt were together. Mm-hmm. So it's been 8 years or so.
Changed a lot.
Oh, it's got it's corporate and it's got no identity and there's just so many people and it just was not, it's not the South by Southwest of lore that I hung out with our friend Tom Merritt and we were talking about, and he said that in the time since I'd gone, I like, because when we went back in 07 and 08, it was very social media focused and tech and whatever. And he said that kind of faded out and a whole nother crop came in and that faded out. And now we're in this like age of like ad agencies
marketing,
and like
marketing
and stuff like that. So like I missed an entire epoch of South by, but whatever. I mean, I ate a lot of barbecues. So that's good.
There you go. That's always the positive. And nice warm weather, I assume.
Yes, it was very, very nice. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back. Actually, our guest, I believe, was also at South by Southwest, Jeff Nanum of Touch Lab. How's it going, sir?
Really good, man. Really good. I was at South by. It was, I can't say
Sounds like you just did, so it's all right.
It was a good time, though. It was a good time, but
it's a rough conference, right? Like I feel like it lacked a purpose. Like I didn't quite understand what the vision of the show was, you know. And so maybe it's because I just want more specific, you know, like DroidCon or whatever.
Speaking of which, you were also out here last week, Jeff. I went all the way down to Fisherman's Wharf to see you.
You did, and the drinking was fun.
I did. It was
a good time.
I don't know if I also don't know if we're supposed to talk about that on air. No, I'm just kidding.
It's okay.
We didn't drink.
DroidCon was last week.
It was. It was a great time. We were really glad to be involved with the first San Francisco one. We were glad to help out. And again, the not drinking was a great time.
I was bummed I missed it. You got to do it again.
I really wanted.
I was out of town
as well.
So,
come to New York.
Twist my arm. Okay, I'll be right there.
All right. Let's go.
I went to the last one in New York. That was fun.
So. You did. You came to see my pal.
I did. It was fun.
Ron does love me.
I do.
I'm down for a little New York road
trip. Let's do it. Road trip.
All right. Let's
cross country.
San Francisco to New York road trip.
Just take 80.
Yeah, just take literally 80 over
the
Bay Bridge.
We'll live stream the whole thing. It'll be perfect.
Bay Bridge to the GW Bridge. You're there.
We'll get a sponsor. We'll get Old Spice to sponsor it.
It'd be great.
Okay.
Nothing needs more of a sponsor for a road trip than a deodorant company.
That's true. That's a really good point. Really good point. So, Jeff, we're going to talk with you a little bit here after the news block about kind of some of the stuff that you're doing at Touch Lab and everything, because you guys are doing some really cool stuff. But before we get there, we've got some news to kind of touch on. We'll be talking all about Android's, I put in here, official Remix OS killer. We'll talk about that in the news block. A hands-on look at the LG G5. Touch Lab, of course, and DroidCon NYC, reinventing the smart TV with Google Cast, although it's not really called Google Cast.
Not called Chrome. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's a little kind of confusing.
There's a lot of nuance to that.
Pokemon Go.
Yes!
In action. I knew that would fire flow up. And a whole lot more. Before we move any further, I have to pour one out for the homie.
Here we go.
Do we another, have like that sad, sad like this, army march music with a funeral?
Let's see if I can get it.
Another Jason phone. Another crack.
Oh man!
Look at the bottom one.
Yeah, there's one down there. It's kind of hard to see.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh man.
That crack is so bad though, Jason.
It's not as bad as my Nexus 6 when I dropped that one.
Yeah, you shattered that.
Yeah,
one.
I know. Yeah. But the thing is, that thing dropped really hard
and this, very far.
And this thing.
Oh, thank you for that transition. Oh. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, so. Just real quick, see, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this.
There's the point of fracture. Yeah, right
that's
there.
Exactly well, where it happened.
And then Leo's GS7 Edge looks the same mm-hmm. on the back.
So, yeah. So, durability, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there's at least a little bit of a concern with the S7. Now, granted, it did fall out of my pocket. So, there is some fault of my own.
But for at one what distance?
Well, I was sitting cross-legged on the floor, and it literally just slipped out of my pocket to the floor. So, probably...
Would you say 4 inches?
Probably about... this far.
5 inches.
Wow.
Because yeah. I was sitting cross-legged yeah. on the floor, and it just yeah. kind of went zhunk down onto the floor. Mm-hmm, and right. when I picked it up, I had that.
I wonder if it's still waterproof, by the way.
Good well,
let's
question.
Let's put it in the coffee and find out.
I don't know if I'm ready to test that. But I will say, the thing I really have liked about the S7, and what I like is kind of a design touch in devices that I enjoy to use, mm-hmm. is you can see as I move around the kind of light glancing off the glass, mm-hmm. the glass is curved. Right. So it's curved all around slightly, which means that if this lands on its face, the only thing that it touches is glass to the yeah. ground. So this is a durability issue that people should at least be aware of. The bezel does yeah. not protrude beyond or further than the glass. The bezel is kind of set inward. And so something to think about. It did not take very much for this crack to happen. this could happen to you.
Do we think this is planned obsolescence?
Nah, I just think it's design.
How many days did you have it? How many?
I don't know, a week and a half.
How long did you have the 6P before that happened?
Or
what,
the 6?
What do you mean?
When you shattered the 6P.
Oh, the Nexus 6.
I'm sorry, Nexus 6. I'm sorry, yeah.
I don't know. I had that probably like 3 months.
Oh, it was 3 months before it shattered? I thought it was sooner.
Maybe it was sooner. Yeah. I can't remember.
Maybe you I'm just, wondering just if shouldn't have a phone.
I was going to say, I wonder if there's a danger zone period with you where we need to get you through that first month.
What needs to happen is apparently like no question case for
support
me.
Support group.
Which I'm okay with. Like I'm fine with having a case on my 6P now.
You want my purple one?
I've gotten used to it. I enjoy my devices living. Yeah. And not dying. So there we go. Anyways, something to think about. I'm sure I can get it replaced.
That's why it was funny because you changed your avatar to that before this happened.
Yeah.
And then I saw your tweet about this happening, and the avatar really set the tone for the mood of the post. So
it was
well
fitting.
Done.
It's
I like your brand, Jason.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just
totally meant to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about some news, Brian.
If there's one thing that Jason can't break... We hope it's Android news.
Oh, but we hope there's breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. Maybe there
wait
will
a minute.
Be.
Think about it again. Take it back. Take it back.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say our resolve. He couldn't. You can't break our resolve. You can break our phones, not our pride. Our resolve.
Okay, show of hands. Who has dropped their phone and broken it in this current modern world of smartphones?
Okay,
smart
how
devices?
Far back are we going? Are we going texting phones? Future phones?
No, smartphones.
Yeah, smartphones with
Android.
Big glass.
Android.
Big glass.
I've got the one. I
threw
forgot
a
how
Droid
happened.
Turbo 2 at some concrete.
Oh, well, you threw it. That was
I did crack a Xperia Z4. I dropped it on the concrete at the BART station.
Okay, that counts.
But you know what, though?
What?
That thing is also made of glass, and it did not shatter that way. All it did was just like, you know, when it gets really rough on the edges?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all it did.
Yeah.
I dropped the Nexus 4 about maybe 2 or 3 inches on a marble bar.
Uh-huh.
And completely, remember, completely
yeah,
shattered.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just marble was not a good...
Was it the back panel that got shattered?
It was the front panel that got shattered.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jeff,
I still have that one.
You raised your hand. What kind of damage?
Moto X from my hand to the concrete.
Okay.
And
locking.
Just shattered.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it takes at that point. Yeah. That sounds like my Nexus 6. Yeah.
Me too.
And then...
Brian wants to participate.
I shattered a brand new Samsung S4 Active. It fell out of my pocket while I was riding a motorcycle.
How did you shatter an Active? What?
I was doing about...
You should get an award.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was destroyed. The only reason I even knew it fell out of my pocket is because it hit my foot as I was riding
and
my motorcycle.
Hurt?
Oh, no, it didn't hurt my foot. The phone was obliterated, though.
Yeah. It, like, hurt to
wow. It hurt to look at it.
No, yeah. Just to add in, like, how much, you know, heaviness it is.
No, it wasn't that bad, but I saw it tumbling in the middle of the road.
Oh,
and, the middle of the road!
Gone. They sent me another one, though.
Oh.
It was on a motorcycle. And it was
yeah, it was a review unit for Before You Buy.
Oh, jeez.
And then they never let me have another phone.
Strange. Strange how that works, isn't it? Okay. Well, hey, that's not the news.
We don't have breaking news, but we do have some sad news that we're starting, or at least just sad for me, just because I had kind of an affinity for Rick Osterloh, now the former president of Motorola. It turns out that there was some executive shuffling going on at Lenovo, and last week it was announced that he was leaving the company after a reorganization. I'm going to pronounce that word properly. Lenovo has been ramping down the Motorola brand since its acquisition, and this is probably not the first of the consolidation that we will be experiencing this year in the Motorola world. Yeah. Or if they're just kidding, there's no Motorola world anymore.
Lenovo.
Now it's just been completely folded into Lenovo. I am personally bummed because I really liked Rick Osterloh. I thought he did some great things under his tenure at Motorola, and I thought he was going to keep, you know, I had a conversation with him last year at MWC, and he really wanted to keep the brand alive and true to its philosophy. Alive. I mean, he really wanted to stay true to the philosophy of, you know, using a near stock Android, having devices that people really want to use, and, you know, just making Android devices that people want to wear too, as far as smartwatches go. So, I'm kind of bummed, and I don't like this. It's making me a little dubious about the way that Lenovo is taking.
Well, and any sort of reorganization or anytime somebody moves on like that, you got to wonder what the conversations are that lead to it and all this sort of stuff. But that said, and completely unrelated to Osterloh's leaving, in a casual social environment, I was talking to somebody who had an affiliation with Motorola and said that apparently they're working on something very, very big for later this year. So I don't know what that means. I don't know how
Lenovo,
like the new, like the current existence.
Well,
of,
I mean, they got the Motorola. Whole Project Tango thing going on. Yeah. So,
but apparently, there's a desire for innovation that's going on with there. Whether or not it's moving away from Osterloh's original vision or something new, who knows? I don't have any other details. This is purely, you know, and I tried. Trust me, I was like, oh, really? Please tell me more. You know, clearly they're not out of the game. Who knows what it will yield, but sometimes maybe executives need to shuffle around and, you know.
No, absolutely. I think Lenovo phones overseas are gorgeous, but I, you know, I'm not a big fan of the software. And Lenovo's also had a couple of follies in the PC scene in the last year or so, and I just hope it doesn't trickle down into the Motorola side of things, because Motorola is a strong brand. We've known it for so freaking long, and I don't know. Change is always scary, and I feel bummed about Rick Arcelo because he's a pretty nice dude.
He's gonna land.
Yeah,
he'll land. He'll be okay.
Executives do.
Jeff, so you said, you mentioned just a little bit ago that you had a Motorola device. How connected were you to the brand, and do you like? Are you worried about kind of where some of the changes that Lenovo has made to the brand since it's kind of taken over Motorola?
Always tough to criticize a carrier in our position, but yeah, a little bit, right? Fair enough. Loved the Moto phones. We thought they were. It was nice to see stock Android. It was nice to see something that performed relatively well and was attractive. Mm-hmm. And to see it under Lenovo, we're waiting to see where that goes.
Kind of what that all results in, yeah.
It's been two years since the acquisition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was January 2014.
Yeah.
And that timeline, I mean, when an acquisition happens, what you need to do is you need to continue on current projects. You need to see through the stuff that's coming through because deals are made. So usually it takes a couple of years for the acquisition changes point. To, you know, to kind of occur. Like, very rarely do they happen immediately and then you see things get canceled. They got to sell through stock. I mean, these are manufacturers. These are physical things you need to worry about. So so the timing kind of lines up and, you know, and then tied in with the stuff that I heard. It sounds like maybe it's enough. They've already established what the next mode is going to be. And so.
Well, and dropping like some software support for older and low range phones. So.
Interesting enough. So. Also interesting in the world of Android, we saw, I missed it last week, I'm sure when you guys talked about it, but the Android N developer preview came out, and our good buddy over at Ars Technica, Ron Amadio, discovered some code in Android N hinting at freeform window mode that appeared in the developer docs and snippets of code within the developer preview. And then sure enough, that mention led to an Ars Technica reader writing in and informing Ron on how to get all this working in Android N. And sure enough, looks as if floating windows, much very similar to Remix OS, are present in Android N. The windowed mode eliminates background app icons and exists in as its own state in the multitasking list. Opening an app while in the window mode makes it appear as a new window. You can resize and drag windows around, and it supports mouse interaction, mouse support. Meaning that Android could be prepped to be used as a desktop-style OS. Is this a great example of something like Remix OS coming along and Google going,
Personally, I would imagine that they were probably concurrently happening, and that one didn't necessarily lead to the other.
This is just the long history of windowed OS's GUIs being ripped off, going back to Xerox PARC.
Right? Absolutely. So I'm curious, Jeff, how you feel about kind of the multitasking environment kind of merging with Android in general. Have you had a chance to kind of play around at all with, any of these things with Remix OS, let's say, or even with the Pixel C in its kind of current incarnation?
So Pixel, we've had some folks on the team play with. I haven't played with it yet. And I haven't had a chance to play with N or honestly never with Remix. But I dig the idea, right? I think the idea has always been one that, you know, can we make this into a desktop environment? But I feel like every time something like this comes around, it's a solution looking for a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. At least in my experience with some of the solutions, you know, and actually using them, that's kind of how it feels. Where it's like, okay, cool, you can do these kind of things, but is it going to replace my other use case? Probably not.
Yeah, also it doesn't work like a regular desktop UI.
Right.
It's not like you're not going to have apps that are popping up other individual windows like you do in Windows and OS X.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or at least it doesn't seem like it's going to work that way. I mean, it's very beta right now, but I don't know.
But you could see, this is definitely, you know, favoring tablets and phones, of course, because whatever, you know, but, you know, in a scenario where Flo, someone like yourself, who's, you know, using a tablet and a child's toy keyboard in lieu of a laptop, you know, there are often times where I'm working on something where I need two documents next to each other, you know, where I'm doing a lot of copying and pasting and stuff like that. Like this is a dream. This is great. Or I want to have access to Google Music and just minimize it or quickly pull up the calculator.
Right.
And so from a productivity standpoint, I think this is cool. Whether or not this reinvents the way I interface with Android, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just a step forward, an evolution.
Convenience.
And another option.
Yeah, exactly.
The idea of making it more productive is pretty cool. But the idea of having another state in Android reminds me too much of widgets, right? Yeah. And the whole widget state that most people don't use already.
But haven't we also seen, and maybe the side by side access is different than windowed, but like iOS, you know, supports the side by side view now. Doesn't Samsung have that as well too? And everyone's like,
you
got that Samsung's multi window. So like, how is this that different from that? I mean, you know, like we praise that, and for some reason we're eschewing this.
Multi window is pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie,
I don't know. You know, I think any option, any extra option is something to kind of be applauded for sure. I'd rather have, you know, more options and thoughtfully done, which hopefully that's what Google's doing here. I would love to play around with this. I have the Pixel C definitely, and I have Android N developer preview loaded on it. The side-by-side mode absolutely adds value to that form factor. It makes it more usable and it makes a little sense. This would kind of further it into that direction. Again, is it going to be the place that I live entirely? It might not, but it probably will be for some people.
Does it replace is this the beginning of the replacement of Chrome OS?
I don't know.
Or that intersection? Sources known, sources close to the subject?
I don't think so.
Yeah?
You can't. Desktop and mobile is still so different.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of
support.
There's a lot of integration of Chrome OS into places like schools and all that kind of stuff. And there are certain reasons why that's so successful in places like schools, from, you know, authentication and kind of the portability of the accounts and all that kind of stuff. You enter, you kind of bring Android into the mix and expect that to replace the other thing. And you've got a whole other host of problems that you've got to solve. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if one replaces the other, because Chrome OS has seen a lot of success in schools.
Except that, well, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, we're going to talk later on in the hardware section, but I mean, could you envision a Google Book?
Like
a Surface Book?
Yeah. If we're seeing the moving away from Chrome as a brand name, maybe there's a tease for later in the show.
And we're seeing people move away from laptops and into Ultrabooks and 2-in-1 tablets. Right. So,
yeah, maybe so.
I mean, that's the kind of life I want.
Right.
Is it?
I'm just faking it. I know. What I have going on.
No. Exactly.
This is just until I can afford my next Windows laptop, okay?
As long as Fisher's Price supports Bluetooth, Flo is on board.
Hey, they sell it at Target.
So, Jeff, let's talk to you a little bit here about kind of Touch Lab, which is what you are, I mean, this is what you do. You guys do full time. I guess we should kind of start there for people who aren't familiar with Touch Lab. Explain a little bit about what it is and kind of what the thought was behind it that kind of spawned it into existence, I suppose.
So Touch Lab is the premier Android development and design shop in the States, thankfully, right now. My partner, Kevin, started things off back in 2010 or so. And he was actually one of those original developers there was a hackathon that Google had prior to the release of the first phone. Kevin was one of those developers there. So he's been in Android for quite some time. We now are, we're a little team. We're a team of about 12, 13 developers, designers, and other folks. And we get to work on a lot of really cool stuff, including, well, we can talk about projects later, but that's basically what we do.
Well, I'm curious to know, actually, we might as well talk about that right now. Like, what is working on pretty cool stuff? Like, I mean, Android has so many different facets. Like, in what directions and how far out does your work with these projects extend, like, in different ways?
It's always the issue of what can we talk about now.
that's true. That's true.
So, well, okay. So we have a project that'll release, I think, in about a week with Jane Goodall as an example. Jane Goodall, we are working with them, or we worked with them and built an app, essentially, that is going on donated Google tablets in conjunction with the Google Maps team that allows rangers in Uganda to go into the forest and check on deforestation alerts that they get from Forest Watcher, from Global Forest Watcher. It allows them to go offline. They check things going on. They bring it back to the Forest Ranger Station, which is the only place that has an internet connection. And it loads things back up to the cloud. So that one is a lot of fun to us. What else is releasing soon? We did our first design-only project, which was ClassPass. The ClassPass Android app is out.
Isn't that the one Liam Spradlin designed?
Yep. Liam is our lead designer. Liam is a badass.
yes, he is.
He is.
He is remarkably talented. We're psyched to have him. We're really lucky. We have a lot of very passionate, smart, talented people, and so we get to build a lot of great things.
Yeah, I'm looking at ClassPass right now.
It's a fitness well, app, and you can
let me be very clear. We didn't develop that.
Yeah. It's like the new hip thing in the Bay Area right now is to get ClassPass because you can work out anywhere. But anyway, it looks nice though. You guys did a good job.
It's been a big thing in New York. I mean, my New York friends love it.
They can do it anywhere.
But that speaks to I detected what you picked up on there is that you guys did design, but you didn't do the build, right? Sometimes.
It's a great service. Dude, it's an awesome service.
Yeah.
And the people there are great, but they chose to go with the... They went in a different direction on implementation. And so, you can see it in the reviews, right? We don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we do regular apps, too, every once in a while. Like, we did Minibar, which I don't... I think you guys have it in SF as well. Minibar is seamless for booze, and it's very useful at different times. Very, very useful. We get to work with some really great people.
Fantastic.
So Jeff, I actually did a Android Influencers with Jeff and Kevin last summer, and I was interested in you guys because you're one of the few Android development studios that's sort of taking the apps that people have made for iOS and making them snackable on Android and like fitting into design paradigm. Are you guys still sort of focused on that, or are you branching out more into just, because I feel like Android's gotten so big now, that's not as much of a...
So yes, we do it. We do it when it comes along. It's a little odd because again, we're very small. So our focus can change pretty quickly from year to year. When we get an opportunity to take something that's beautiful and great on iOS and then make it beautiful and great for Android, that's something we jump all over. We're a little bit opinionated. We've turned down projects when they tell us that they have the Android design already for us.
Well, what's the point then, right?
If they're hiring, someone that they value, you know, your expertise and your opinion, like you would hope that they would understand where that is comes from. Would you say a lot of the people that have an iOS app already designed that end up at your doorstep for creating an Android app, are they looking for, we want our iOS app the same on Android, or are they saying we want our iOS app to speak to Android following its own kind of design principles and all that kind of stuff?
More and more, right? The startup crowd is interesting. More and more, though, they're getting a lot more, progressive about that, right? You get people like Fred Wilson who speak out, and more the startup people are beginning to understand that design it's necessarily user-centric. And you have to have empathy for the user and for their context. It can't just be, oh, this is a beautiful design on iOS. That doesn't translate necessarily to an Android user. It has to be specific for the Android user. And increasingly, startups come to us understanding that. 2 years back, it was a different conversation.
Absolutely.
Very much,
before material design.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Material made a huge difference. We're thrilled that Google... Finally,
did it make your business easier? Like having material design and being able to like, Google wants this. You can't just go do your own thing. You have to do it this way.
Yeah, it helps. We've had in the last 2 years, we've had a little over a dozen of our apps featured in the Play Store. So it kind of helps, you know, where you can just say, hey, this is what Google wants and we know. So want to get featured, get it together.
Tell us a little bit about DroidCon NYC and how that kind of factors into the work that you're doing. With Touch Lab and beyond, you've also got kind of an expansion going on.
Yeah. So DroidCon is this big global group of conferences that happens all over the world. It had never been in the States. And 2 years ago, we chatted with them and agreed to bring it into America with the first DroidCon New York. Which was great. And it fits for us. Kevin built Touch Lab basically around his work with the developer community. He was one of the founders of the New York City Android Developer Meetup, which is now like 3,000 members or so. So JoyCon became kind of a natural extension of that, and it allowed us to serve the community in a better way and get more exposure for TouchLab. When we brought it to the States, there were other developer groups that that wanted to run JoyCons. Montreal comes to mind immediately, and then of course San Francisco. Both groups reached out to us for some assistance, and we were really happy to help out. It's kind of all part of the same community, so where we can help out, we help out. And for us, it's a huge business benefit, because when we're speaking to the business people that have to decide, hey, do we hire these folks? As soon as they speak to the developers go, oh yeah, these guys run this, they run that. And there's it's a business by gratitude kind of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're positioning, I mean, as the guys who do the show, you're, you know, in a nice position of being the guys, you know, like, from a standpoint, like, all right, well, do you want to hire these guys who have some Android, you know, design development under their belt? Or do you want the guys who run the Droid show in New York City, which is pretty cool. So, yeah. And it was a great show. Like we mentioned, both Flo and I were there. Flo spoke last year. I happened to be in town, so I swung by, and it was a great vibe. I've been to a lot of conferences, and they can either be mind-numbingly boring or really interesting and engaging. And I felt engaged the entire time. So.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. It's same thing again, right? We have a great team that ran it. It's a remarkable woman, Tanya, who really took the reins in year two. Year one, I don't remember if you came to year one, Flo, but year one is if you see pictures of me and Kevin from year one, it's just like ghosts. it was a mess. Hey, don't tell anyone, but at around noon on day two, Kevin and I snuck out in year one to go get a drink at the corner, and then we came back much calmer.
I'm not surprised. events is a hard business, man. Yeah, you think app design and app development is tough? Go run a 3-day conference. Like, oh, yeah, those are. I did it once and never again. So yeah.
Yeah. No, but we had amazing speakers. We had people that came in that were so generous with their time, like Flo and so many other speakers. And that's what makes it, man. That's totally what makes it.
Fantastic. And finally, tell us a little bit about Coalition for Queens. You guys are doing just kind of interesting kind of nonprofit work as well here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Coalition for Queens is awesome. I really love these guys. They are working their behinds off to figure out how developer education can work in underrepresented communities. Right. So neighborhoods like the ones that I grew up in, they take people generally that have had zero computer science background, no technology experience. There's a big, long screening and application process, but they bring these folks in for a nine month program to Golem in the chat room. It's not moonshine, it's water. I've definitely been talking too much about drinking. Coalition for Queens, they really do great work. They had an iOS program initially, and then they reached out to the community. They reached out to us and to the meetup for help with their Android curriculum. Kevin, who, again, he's a really sharp guy and does his best to give back to the community. He helped build their curriculum. Along with a great group of Android folks here in New York. And we continue to do what we can to help them out. We were really fortunate. We hired one of their graduates, and she is absolutely brilliant. She's Ramona. She's a fantastic developer. And she is she's on a project that... What can I... most I can say about this is that it may have... I can't say it. All right, never mind. She's on a great project that may be very public very soon.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, there you go. Note that time code.
Let's see here. So I guess, well, it's obviously it sounds like you guys have a lot of different things going on. If you wanted to kind of point people in the direction of finding more information on kind of the main efforts that you have going on, or if they're, I don't know, if they're interested in hiring you guys to help out, what do you want people to know?
They can go to the website, touchlab.co, or honestly find us on Twitter, touchlabny, or hit me up on Twitter, namnum, namnum.
That's cool, man. Yeah. I'm so bummed that I didn't get to go to the event last Wednesday. I really wanted to do it, but I just could not make it. Next time, I'll make it happen.
Let's do New York.
No worries,
road trip.
Man. No worries.
Okay. Road trip New York. I think it's going to happen. Road trip.
Bay Bridge to GW Bridge is what I'm talking about, man. We're going to do it.
Oh, that sounds long.
We can do it. You can do it in 2.5
days. Told you, man. If we get Old Spice to sponsor it, we'll be fine.
Listen, all we need is a car with good bones, a good engine, mm-hmm. a little bit of speed, some music. We'll be fine.
All right.
We work for Kerouac. We can do it. All right? Come on.
Just get speed? like
what kind of speed are you talking about here? Okay, that's open to interpretation. Fantastic stuff. Thanks for telling us all about that, Jeff. But you are, of course, going to stick around because we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yes,
and
we do.
You're in for the long haul today, so we really appreciate it. But before we get to the hardware section, let's thank our first sponsor, and that is Automatic.
Actually, I have an automatic right here.
Oh, yeah. I also have one installed in my car. It's this little dongle that you see here. It turns your car into a smart car. It plugs into your car, it allows you to basically keep connected to your smartphone with all sorts of data and metrics that are passed from your engines, the same port that, you know, mechanics use to kind of find out how the health of your car. If you don't have a car that's kept up with technology, well, that's kind of the perfect opportunity for something like Automatic. This small adapter will turn your car into a connected car. You just plug it into that port. You can diagnose engine problems, and it opens up a bunch of other kind of possibilities. Lets you keep track of your fuel mileage, your vehicle health. You can, you know, do things like expense business trips with a tap. You can link your car to the connected devices that power your life. Automatic will tell you before you know that you need to take your car into the shop. Automatic will give you the information that you need to know to do that. It can also integrate with things like your Nest thermostat, so it knows when you're home, and it can provide the answer to one of those common questions that we have, which is like, where on earth did I park my car? I've had it connected into my car for quite a while now, and just kind of the data that's pushed to your phone, it's always so interesting to kind of hop in there and see how much a quick trip to the grocery store actually costs when you consider gas, you know, the amount of gas it takes to get there, the amount of miles that it takes to travel there, and then what that converts into gas cost. It's kind of eye-opening. This works on nearly every car made after 1996. Pretty much they all have that port that Automatic uses in order to do its stuff. It takes minutes to install. It's literally just plugging it into the port. It connects to iPhone or Android devices over Bluetooth. So when you power up the car, you hear a little satisfying chirp. It tells you that it's connected with your device, and it enables a lot of cool stuff like real-time performance data. It can connect, you know, to things like the Amazon Echo, Nest, Your Mechanic, FreshBooks, If This Then That. That's their app platform that allows you to expand it in really cool ways and get super nerdy. So you can like put out a Twitter update that says, I'm at work, or don't put out a Twitter update that says I'm leaving home, because then the burglars might find you, find your house and, you know, take your stuff. But
it's cool stuff. Yeah,
very, very cool. Like, pretty much is one of those kind of tools that opens up a world of possibilities if you're willing, especially, to kind of spend some time to think about what you want it to do. File business expenses with apps like Concur and Expensify. Just a whole bunch of options. It supports Apple Watch. It supports Pebble. There are no monthly fees or subscriptions required. And Automatic never sells your data. Now, Automatic is normally $99.95. When you use our special offer code TWIT, that's TWIT, you'll save 20%. Go to automatic.com/TWIT for more information and to purchase, and use offer code TWIT to save 20% off the regular purchase price. That's automatic.com/TWIT. And we thank Automatic for their support of this show. All right. Speaking of cool hardware, let's check out some cool hardware. Oh. So how's your next bit, Ron?
So some cool hardware that might not exist. yeah. So I'm very excited to become a proud owner of a Nextbit Robin once our faithful U.S. Post Office gets it to me. But that said, I'm lucky because I am not a Verizon or Sprint carrier user. Because unfortunately, Nextbit announced to their backers that while previously they had plans to bring a Verizon and Sprint CDMA version of the Robin phone, that is not happening. All backers will be refunded, and they are. And then Nextbit is offering them a 25% discount on a device to buy through their store because they're basically not getting if they want if they want to go to the non CDMA version. Very interesting because in some of the comments, you know, this is always a touchy kind of when things fall apart. Yeah. It's interesting to see what they reveal and what they say. And the Nextbit CEO Tom Moss in the message to the backers basically says, you know, that they were planning to do a CDMA version of the Robin based on misguided information from potential carrier partners and noted there doesn't appear to be a workable solution. And in addition, you know, in terms of what that would be, he said what they thought would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars has turned into millions and we're still not there. So it sounds like to me, reading between the lines, it's either inventory, Verizon and Sprint wanted to make sure they could deliver X amount of units, or parts, the chipset or the parts that go into making a CDMA were way more expensive or they need to buy at a higher volume. This is all my speculation.
Licensing fees, says Wade County in the chat.
Exactly. So any of those things. And, you know, unfortunately, if you're a Verizon or Sprint user and you're hoping to use Nextbit Robin, this is a great reason to get off of Verizon and Sprint. Never!
I still hate you, Verizon. Just kidding. I don't hate you.
Yeah. I love Verizon's network. I just hate everything else about it.
Yeah.
And Sprint, I got no love.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Sprint.
That's how I felt.
Color's yellow.
And then I got off of Verizon.
Yeah, exactly.
And switched to T-Mobile, and I've been happy ever since.
So.
Yeah, well, you have to imagine it's probably really sucked from their perspective, too.
Totally.
Because you're doing a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
They're a lot of very smart, seasoned professionals in this industry. You know, they even said in their posts, like, we should have seen some of the red flags. We got swept up in it and really thought, you know, that some of the word that we were getting about being able to, you know, see this through to the end, you know, we should have scrutinized it maybe a little bit more, and we didn't. And
Hardware's hard, man. Hardware startup, as working for a startup that does hardware, it's hard. I mean, sourcing parts and manufacturing and China and all this sort of stuff. I mean, the Nextbit has already run into this. You know, there were shipping delays. It's one of the reasons why I don't have my Robin right now, because it was part of the shipping delays, which I heard through the grapevine were tied to part sourcing and getting the right sensors and things like that. Yeah, it's tough. So it's sad. But, you know, at least all they can do at this point is be transparent, refund the money, which is great. This isn't a Kickstarter. Right.
They're not going to stretch it out for another 6 months.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then you start to get into the point to where the device is actually starting to age somewhat and all that kind of stuff. So, Jeff, do you have any opinions on kind of what Robin was aiming to do from the device itself? Maybe not necessarily about this, but kind of the cloud aspect of things, from a design point of view. They're doing some very interesting different things. What did you think about it?
I do think it's an interesting device. To be honest, other than interesting, I don't have a lot on it. Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons why I've been so excited for it and why I'm excited to get my hands on it is, like, from a design standpoint, I feel like it's a step forward in terms of industrial design, and that's what kind of I'm most excited about for it. So
yeah. Well, tell us about something.
You know what
else
I'm excited about?
Boom.
Not that excited over this.
Well, maybe not that excited. Like punching fists in the air excited.
That's pretty exciting.
I know.
I'm trying to wake myself up. Anyway, okay. I have over here a pre-production version of the LG G5.
Whoa.
This is LG's new modular.
Why are you talking like that?
Why not?
Okay. I thought maybe it was part of the LG, part of the embargo.
I like to make voices, okay?
Part of the embargo.
Anyway.
You can only talk about this if it's like you're on the sly, smuggler.
Nah. I talked all about it on the screensavers over the weekend. So this is a pre-production unit. So this is the LG G5, the pre-production version. Now, mind you, everything that you see here is not the final production version. We benchmarked it last week. I'm kind of slowly testing it. Part of the reason I haven't gone full force is because this is not the final release, and any numbers I get from it and photos are not going to really be indicative of. I mean, maybe it'll be, maybe not. But
you don't know for sure until you get a final release.
Yeah, exactly. I do think, so first of all, as far as benchmarks go, this guy has beat out the Galaxy S7. I don't know if that's because the processor, you know, the software isn't like finalized, and so the processor is allowed to sort of like peak during benchmarks, or if it really is because the software is optimized better than TouchWiz. So I don't know. We'll find that out when the review period comes. But I think the most interesting thing about the LG G5 is its modularity and just sort of what it brings to the Android handset world as a whole. You know, I wasn't completely sold on the idea of LG and its friends, but...
And its friends, by the way. That is the name of the modules, friends.
You can take this thing
apart. That's cool.
There is a little slot on the side.
Can I see that?
Yes.
Can I do that?
There's a little slide on the slot of the G... On the side of the... Little slot on the side of the G5. Goodness gracious.
I like...
And it keeps the battery pack locked in so that you don't have to worry about it falling out if you drop the phone or anything like that.
Can we get this camera?
In fact, I didn't even quite honestly want to take it out.
When you play more.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and so jiggle the battery a little bit. You can take it off the holster. You can jiggle it off. Just the battery pack. Jiggle it from side to side.
Or how about I just press the button that it comes out
of? Is there a button
there?
Yeah,
there's a button. Yep.
What?
There's totally a button. Jiggling.
No. That's the button that takes it out of the rest of the phone.
I can't jiggle it off. All right, we'll figure it out. Hang on. I want to put it in first.
Okay.
Slide in the friend.
Ron is now sliding in the battery pack into the G5.
How does it feel?
Yes, how do you think it feels, Ron?
How does it feel?
When you slide it in, is it
I think
it feels good. It feels right. It feels doesn't feel like the S Pen. It feels like I can't get it out. There's no wiggle room to get it wrong, I feel like. It's not like you got to line it up on a track or something like that. It just kind of goes right in. I like it.
That is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little concerned. It's hard to see here, but there are...
Components,
yeah.
Like completely
that I would worry about
exposed.
Them lining up into their holes, their corresponding holes, but it doesn't, I don't feel lack of confidence with sliding it in.
Feels really second nature, honestly. Yeah.
It feels like I was born to do this. It's just second nature.
It does.
I know,
it feels natural. And when you pop the battery onto the friends and you put the battery pack back in. So right now there are only two friends. There's the Bang & Olufsen friend, which brings hi-fi to the G5. And there is the LG makes a external like camera accessory so you can have physical camera controls on the bottom of the phone, as well as 1,200 extra milliamp battery pack so that you have 4,000 milliamps in total. That battery pack that comes with the G5 is a 2800, and I will have you know, ladies and gentlemen, it lasted just as long as the Galaxy S7's 3000 milliamp battery pack.
No, it's a great prank you can do with your friends now if they have it, is they take the battery out and put this back on and give them back their phone.
And it's a dummy device.
Wow, that's kind of mean.
Oh, it's really light.
It's really light without the battery inside, actually.
Yeah, you think?
Which kind of worries me about...
You see,
durability. But then you saw Jason's GS7 at the beginning of the show, so
I would like to note that I jiggled the battery out because I was jiggling the wrong direction, which sums up most of my teenage years.
Oh my God, Ron is on fire today.
So as opposed to jiggling left and right, you want to jiggle out. So,
okay,
there you go.
Thank you.
I gotta admit. I dig this.
Because I can see you sporting a phone like this. I can see you being like, let me grab one of my friends.
Yeah, well, because here's the deal. This is innovation. This is really clever. I applaud LG. Okay.
I think it's a better idea than the leather back that they had on the G4. That was a little not really my my thing. But I like this, and I like the shape of the G5. I think it fits nicely in the hand. The only thing that is another bummer is the software. Because there's no app drawer. I mean, you can enable it.
Oh, we're going to have this conversation.
But I don't really, I don't know. I've never really.
You have an irrational attachment to that drawer.
No, I just have, you know, I just don't really have an affinity for LG's interface. But, you know, there's good things about it. Also, you can, if you turn it on, you can see how fast the fingerprint scanner is. It's very fast.
What
it's
happens when you take the battery piece. Out while it's
so
on?
So it turns on with you hold the.
Got it.
What happens when you take the battery out when it's on? It just turns off?
Just turns off.
Oh, wow.
Like taking the cartridge out of the NES?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have to blow on this before you put it in?
Actually, no. I haven't blown on it yet. I can imagine.
That wasn't a thought. That was a legit, like, you had to blow on NES cartridges, Brian.
Yeah, Brian. You turned that into something it ain't.
Sorry.
So, one thing.
So much censorship on today's
show. One thing that's weird to me is how it kind of curves at the top, how the glass curves at the top.
It's interesting.
I have a hard time knowing if it's intentional or not.
Yeah, the microphone goes like into your ear. It kind of comes out into your ear when you're talking on the phone because some of us still talk on the phone.
Yeah, it's just FYI. It's interesting because it's only up there, you know, and the rest of it is I'm used to.
I like that you have 30 attempts to unlock the phone.
Yeah, so the knock code is 8 taps now instead of 4.
That's a lot of taps.
It's secure as heck.
Yeah.
Have you taken many pictures with it?
I have not taken any pictures with it yet. Taking
with
it
its two rear-facing cameras.
Yeah, I haven't. I just, I had to actually do some coverage for that Apple event yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't have time.
Interesting device.
Yeah. I mean, like, I read about it, but, like, seeing it in person is another story.
How do you feel?
How does it feel, Jeff?
The kind of the modular kind of approach to things. Like, we've got Project Ara somewhere. I don't know what
that's
going to happen.
Apparently, it was in Puerto Rico. But
what's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. How do you feel about this? Do you think this is the next wave of hardware, or are you interested in it for yourself?
I really dig it, actually. Yeah. I mean, I think it could end up being really crappy. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that you guys are saying that it feels really solid. And I think if you can, I really hate the idea that we're, and not to be the hippie dippy guy, but I hate the idea that we throw this stuff out every year or every 6 months, if you're like us. And so to have something that could potentially eventually be upgraded, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, you can upgrade it with a friend that has extra features, whether that's like extra battery pack or better sound. I'm trying to think of what other modules you could tack on to this guy. Flash?
But that's the thing, is that it's a platform
and they have a developer. They have a developer program for this.
Yeah.
And I'm actually very curious to see what people are thinking. So hopefully the developer program is in the United States so I can actually go, because I kind of want to show up and see what people are doing.
In order to have a rich kind of catalog of friends being
the
things.
I know.
It's hard to kind of get used to that.
So the camera.
It has to be a successful kind of feature of the device, right?
It could be that this sells well because it feels nicer than the G4, not because
right? Like, a lot of people could buy the phone, but they could not care at all about the modular aspect. And if that happens, then you probably aren't going to see a lot of the modular components sold for it. So,
it'd be cool.
It's just really nice and pink.
It's a nice hue.
Matches my nail.
It's a nice hue. Wow, we are running a little long, so let's reel this in a little bit. Real quick, Vizio has a new TV, a new line of TVs, and they're not going with Android TV for this.
Nope.
They're working in partnership with Google to basically integrate Google Cast into the experience. So they're getting rid of the smart TV aspect, which anytime I've ever had experience with smart TV functions and setting up the different apps and smart TVs, I just hate it and I want to jump out a window. I love my Chromecast setup at home. I feel like this makes a lot of sense. It comes with a little 6-inch tablet that is running Lollipop. It doesn't have a camera on it or anything, but it's totally, it's a fully functional, pretty.
It's a phone.
But
well, and that's the thing. It's like,
I know, but
remember when we were talking about TVs and their interfaces, and my complaint about Chromecast was that you needed that device to, you know, and the education, but here they're solving that by selling the TV with the device to do it. It
looks like a Lumia.
Yeah.
An Android Lumia.
It kind of does. It has a little magnetic wireless charging dock so that when you snap it in there, it kind of defaults to the interface.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Stuff for the TV, it'll kind of pop over, and kind of a cool setup. Like,
I
kind of like that. Your iOS friend comes over and you're like, "Oh, sorry, your Apple thing is not compatible with mine," and then you get that.
Well, this Chromecast works on iOS.
Yeah, I know, but I just
you just want to stick it to them.
Just let me stick it to someone for once.
But what's interesting, what I thought was interesting about this story was that it somewhat buried the lead. When it comes to Chromecast, in fact, that as part of their announcement, Google posted on the Chrome blog, along with this announcement, they made official that we are changing the name of the Chromecast app to Googlecast. And in their words, to better reflect that Googlecast technology is now supported across a wide range of devices, such as Chromecast TVs, displays, and speakers.
We're calling it Chromecast, y'all. That's not the name.
So it's Googlecast, and Chromecast is the dongle that you buy to put it in. Yeah. But now you've got TVs with it and all this sort of stuff. But so Google as a brand name, we talk a lot about what they're doing with, you know, Chrome, using Chrome as a brand name, whatever, is Googlecast. So
I just get more and more confused.
I know.
I just hope they don't start calling it Alphabet Cast.
I think the aim is always to simplify, but man, it just confuses me along the way.
Yep. But I hope it's not confusing to the general public.
Probably will be. Why don't we check out a different type of hardware, Brian? A different one right now. The kind that you wear.
The kind that you've been waiting for.
Ladies and some gentlemen, Michael Kors is now making Android Wear watches, so you can buy one to match you. That's the news.
Michael
Kors made some pretty watches. They look exactly like the kind of watches that I've been talking about in my articles for like the last 2 years.
So this is what
Michael
you want? Are you getting one?
So guess what? My birthday's coming up, everyone. And if you all pulled in a couple of bucks, you guys can buy me a nice rose gold Android Wear watch. On top of that, those of you who are wondering what the heck happened to the LG Watch Urbane second edition LTE.
That's
a long word.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming back. AT&T is selling it again, even though it was off the market for 4 months after the 3 days it was on the market because of problems.
Sticking with it.
Worked
out the kinks.
I don't know why you'd want to talk into your wrist to people, but I'm sure some of you want it, and it's available to you from Life's Good, also known as LG.
Jeff, do you want to talk into your wrist?
I absolutely do not. I don't get it. Look, I think choice is great, but I why do I need? I don't know.
Be together, not the same, Jeff.
I don't.
That's
yeah,
what
not
says.
The same. You're right.
Go gadget.
But worse to me, I'm sorry. I know you're really excited about the Michael Kors things. What the hell? Why the flat tire?
Flat tire.
Why? Yeah. Why? And then paint it gold?
Well, that's for the ladies.
Yeah. Ladies like gold. Come on, look
how
good
like
that looks.
Yeah, it's a gold flat tire.
That looks really nice.
No, they painted the
flat
tire.
That's awesome, though. That's way better than having
I mean, if
like
you're
going to
have the flat tire, yeah, if you're going to have the flat tire, maybe it was
like. And I want, like, the ambient, you know, abilities and all that. Like,
right.
At least they're owning it. I'll give you that.
Right? Exactly.
But, my God, really, do you have to go that route?
So, I don't know. The flat tire, though, has always been about ambient light sensor, right?
So that's what it painted, is on the Moto 360.
And the reason that it's hidden is because they paint it black because the module is actually black. So when they paint it gold, aren't you going to see the module under there?
Maybe they have a gold
module.
The
ambient light?
Maybe they have
and if not, then are they just putting a flat tire in there just because?
I'm just curious.
That's a good question.
I'm curious to know, where's the sensor?
Really
I don't see it.
Okay, I'm going to go to Macy's. I'm going to buy one, assuming they sell these at Macy's, which they would be silly not to because that's like where everybody buys watches. And Nordy's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would love to see your new Michael Kors
Watch. Videotape my next shopping trip.
I was about to say I haven't been in a Macy's in like 10 years, but I also haven't bought a watch in like 20. So yeah, so
there you go.
All right. What do I know?
Before we check out some apps, let's thank our sponsor, Atlassian. Behind every great human achievement is a team. Genome mapping, 3D printing, space exploration, renewable energy, or even planning your next offsite team. So how do you bring everyone together to build what's next? With Atlassian, of course. We actually use Atlassian programs here at Twit. We love all of their different programs that they have. Our engineering team uses Confluence to document equipment as well as work processes. Also use Jira for managing vendors and organizing. Well, we just have a lot of tasks, so organizing all of those becomes an issue. Well, that's what we use Jira for. We also tie all of the communications together with HipChat. We have a ton of rooms on HipChat that we communicate through, from everything from planning events to working on serious operational issues as they arise. We can, you know, manage tasks, assign, track for a project, no matter how complex, with the clarity of Jira. So there's just a number of ways that Atlassian products and tools can kind of help you out. So it's the freedom that HipChat, Bitbucket, you know, all of their different programs, they offer just different pieces of flexibility. You can test and review and manage code in real time with Bitbucket. You can get instant messages, video chat, all that kind of stuff with your team from whatever device you happen to have with HipChat. You can create and share content, organize results, bring team members up to speed with all the flexibility of Confluence. Atlassian is helping teams in every industry, from startup to enterprise, make great ideas real. So you should check out their tools for yourself. Go to Atlassian.com to learn more and to see how Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket give your team everything that you need to organize, discuss, and complete all of your shared work. It's all about sharing the work and getting it done together. That's Atlassian.com. Unleash the potential in your team. Build what's next. And we thank Atlassian for their support. All right. Hey, we've got a couple of neat things in the apps segment. Let's check it out.
Right. So I have not done this.
I know. I found this. I was like, I'm going to give this to Ron.
We're doing it live.
I think it's cool.
This is going to be fun. We're going to do it live. So, Brian, if I can get my thing, hopefully I don't show anything too personal here. Okay, so we got a little neat trick. So I'm going to say, okay, Google. Actually, wait. I'm not going to say, okay, Google. I'm going to apologize to our audio listeners and anybody watching at home for what I'm about to do. Okay, Google. Add toothpaste to my shopping list. Let's add two things to my shopping list.
And it goes into keep, and it creates a shopping list and puts two things on there.
There you go.
So now, sweet. Anytime you want to create a shopping list, all you have to say is,
All right, let's try this again. Okay, Google, add toothpaste to my shopping list. There we go.
Nice.
And it'll add it. Now it's the second one on the list.
Boop. And you can also see that previously I bought eggs, unsalted butter, bourbon, rum, simple syrup.
Simple syrup?
What was I making?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
That is awesome.
That's pretty neat.
Some folks in chat are saying that, yes, we just added toothpaste to their shopping list.
Sorry about that. And two things.
And two things.
And two things. Actually, any things. That's pretty cool. That's contextual. That's
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I know. I love finding out little things like that. Sometimes you just kind of sit there and you talk to your phone, and eventually it'll add things to your shopping list.
I would like to know, how much time per day do you spend talking to your phone?
Oh, just, you know, I don't have many friends, so.
Aww.
It's
just what
that's
I do.
It's sad. I like
it. It is sad. Thanks. I appreciate that. Not very often, to answer your question. Flo, you're pretty excited about Pokemon. There we go.
That's it. That's all we got. JK. So last week, South by Southwest was still going on, and it appears that the first footage of Niantic's highly anticipated Pokemon Go mobile game has been revealed. Sorry, I couldn't figure out what word to say in that for some reason. This footage is from YouTube user Eric F., who's at the South by Southwest panel with Niantic CEO John Hankey. The presentation shows some of the basic gameplay, doesn't go into all of the plot points of the game, and
skip about halfway through. I think it kind of catches up. There you go. And all right, so
but we know it's in its first field test right now in Japan, which is very exciting.
Which Pokemon is that?
That's Bulbasaur, dude. Right now, you can catch Pokemon, you can train them, and you can battle them.
Does it play the music while you're playing the game?
No, that's just me.
Oh, that's Brian making it that much better.
What so is this, well, Pokemon is just
Ivysaur, not Bulbasaur.
Ah, bro.
Pokemon is just a world that, like, totally escaped me. I have no connection whatsoever with Pokemon, and I don't even know what I'm looking at. Is this faithfully done? Is this something that, that really gets you excited?
And it will also come with a device, an optional device, called Pokemon Go Plus. Like a smartwatch, it can be worn on the wrist and used to execute in-game actions such as catching a Pokemon. The device will connect to your smartphone using Bluetooth and will flash its LED lights and vibrate to notify you about nearby Pokemon. So it's basically the wrist version of the Nintendo 3DS.
The Pokedex.
Like,
wow.
Mii games and the Pokedex. Which, by the way, you can buy like an actual Pokedex. That's...
Will Psyduck be available?
I mean, I would imagine so.
I like Psyduck because he gets a headache. And he goes, Psy!
Wow, I am so out of this conversation.
I thought it's because you were into like psychic Pokemon.
No, just because I like the weird ones.
You know,
welcome to my senior year of college.
That's how you like to fight, Ron. You like the slow, like get you in the brain.
I used to, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. in Ithaca, New York. It was Pokemon followed by Blue's Clues, and then I went to class. So that was my morning ritual.
I know the Blue's Clues songs.
That's
too,
my entire family.
In case I ever need to whip those out. Wow.
I was 22.
Yep. This is just a world that I do not understand.
And totally sober.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was 8 a.m.
World that I am very excited for. Yeah. Yay, quite
Pokemon.
Frankly,
this is cool. I mean, it's a clever. I mean, it's a good. I mean, Niantic.
You guys, I'm just gonna have meetups in Golden Gate Park just to like have people come and play with me.
Oh gosh.
We're gonna be like
I'll meet
those.
You there.
We're gonna be like those people.
Yep. So is this a good next step for Niantic as they've branched out? Do you think this is gonna be a
success?
It's a
little more.
It's a little more accessible than Ingress. Yeah. I feel like I think explaining Ingress at a cocktail party that's one thing. Explaining Pokemon, people get it, and it's like, oh, okay.
You can and how out. Cool that I can and wear
you're
something.
You're not selling a wearable with Ingress.
Yeah.
Do you think they're gonna sell a lot of those wearables for this?
Do you know what Christmas is going to be like this year when this comes out?
I don't. See, that's the thing. I am so clueless with Pokemon, I don't even know that. What? Sorry, Jeff. I talked over you. What were you saying?
No, brother. I'm sorry. It doesn't even matter what it costs. I have to buy 4 and probably 5 because I think Dad's going to want one.
Dang. See? There you go.
So this is going to be that big a deal, huh?
It's fun.
I missed the boat on Pokemon.
I'm pro Pokemon. Obviously. I'm with Flo on this. I'm pro.
I think, by the way, Psyduck is a dark Pokemon. I misspoke.
It's not a dark Pokemon. Oh. I mean, a dark.
He's not psychic.
No, he's not psychic.
Wait, what type is he?
Oh, I don't know. He just goes, sigh, and then that's it. I didn't actually really do much with the Pokemon. I just watched the dang cartoon. That's all I did.
I'll ask my wife. She'll know.
I mean, I could just ask Google, what kind of Pokemon is Psyduck?
Water type.
All right.
Oh.
We can move on to the next segment. We got that all figured out now.
Phew!
Man, I could have told you that.
I was checking Bulbapedia.
Jeez. Just ask Google, man. Google knows all about the Pokemans.
Okay, well, I will trust you guys. Sign. This is going to be a big deal. We got an email from Jeremy Lee to aaa@twit.tv. That's our email address. Email us. We get lots of email. Jeremy, you win this week. Saying, and actually, we win big time. He says, I've been wanting to watch Twit shows on my TV, but I noticed that there was a distinct lack of Twit apps with Chromecast support on the Play Store. Having recently learned Android development, I thought that it would be a good challenge to develop one myself. And I've created TwitCast, which is now available on the Play Store.
Oh, my gosh.
And so...
Very cool.
Awesome.
In learning...
I like that first show.
Oh, my God.
Very nice.
So there we go. So if you guys are looking for a Chromecast app for some of the Twit content, you can get it. It's specifically for Chromecast, by the way. So you've got all your shows. You've got some of the latest episodes that have posted. And then you've got live that you can send to your Chromecast.
Yeah.
I don't have a Chromecast set up right now. Otherwise, I'd show you how it works. But beyond this. But
Googlecast.
Hey, see, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Is the device now called
No, the device is Chromecast. The app is called Google Cast.
Jeez.
Yeah, because there, there are different devices that Google Cast can connect to. So it can connect to Chromecast. It can also connect to a TV.
Chromecast is a Google Cast device.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Really this works
as
for that.
As many times as we can put the word cast into it. But yeah, this is awesome. This is great.
So there you go. Check it out for yourself. Yeah, you know, and I love that. Having recently learned Android development, this thing looks pretty great. Good job.
Yeah.
Do it. You might have a hard time finding it if you just do TwitCast. So search for Tragic Fruit, who's the developer, and you'll find it. Good work.
I
want to
interview
that.
Him about where did you get Tragic Fruit as your name?
Great name, right?
Yeah, I want to know.
That was good.
Hey, person.
And Jeremy Lee,
you should tell us why you chose that name. I'm curious.
And now we'll hear from Jeremy Lee about that at some point. All right. Hey, what do you say?
I said, please do, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay. Arena time. Let's do it.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Android arena.
Kills me to miss an arena. I was in Austin and I was dying.
Yes, you did miss a good one.
Yep.
Let's see here. So I'm following the link. Last week's episode had Universal Copy, Airtable, a Morning Kit, Smart Alarm, and
Universal Copy.
Boom.
When I watch shows, like, oh, yeah, that's going to be the winner. So with that win, Jason moves into a tie with me with 4 wins on the year. Good job, buddy.
Clawed my way back.
I'm just going to go to the wilderness.
Second place are our guests and Gina with 2. And in last place with 1 win is our good friend Flo over there. So good job.
I win in other ways, Ron.
Sure
that's
you
true.
Do.
It's true.
Everyone's a winner.
Participation.
Yeah.
Listen, I watched a thing today. Millennials don't exist. We'll talk about that after the show.
All right.
Just saying.
You said the M word.
I did not.
That's true.
I can feel him thinking it.
Psyduck. All right. So does that mean I go first? Yes, because I wasn't here. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You go first.
So, I like keyboard apps. We know that. Here's a keyboard app. But this is a cool keyboard app because if you're like me, in the past year, you've been sucked into the world of Slack. And while this isn't a Slack keyboard or related to Slack at all or developed by Slack at all, it is leveraging the slash commands that have become so native to us in Slack and integrated into a keyboard. And not only doing that, it's integrating 20-plus services that allow you to access information all from your keyboard. It is called Slash Keyboard, and I will show it to you. It is very cool. It is free in the Google Play Store. When you launch the app, all you got to do is their slogan is life inside your keyboard. Goes you through the very simple step-by-step. First, you got to enable it. I've already enabled it. And then you've got to switch the keyboard to it, which we easily do. And once you do that, it tells you you can use Slash. And basically, you can type in all of your favorite apps with Slash and see all the services that it offers. So what you can do is currently out of the box, and that's – let me change my brightness there for you, folks. There you go. It's because it's white. I don't know if you want to zoom in there, Brian, or not. But currently, the services that are integrated from the get-go, Slash Amazon, search for products on Amazon, Slash Contacts, share contact info, Slash Email, Slash Genius, search lyrics, Slash Giphy, Slash Google, Slash Maps, Slash Music from Apple Music, which I thought was odd. New York Times, Slash Pin shares your location, Product Hunt, SoundCloud, Spotify, Twitter, Wikipedia, YouTube. These are all things that you can access just through using the keyboard, and I'll show you how that works now. So if I go to Keep, where I'm going to have my little demo note. Okay. So these are playing with my previous last ones. Remember I was doing the last. But so here's the keyboard. And so now down here, you'll notice there's this slash button. And I've hit slash. Here are all the various services that they have. You can just type and it will auto search to find them, or you can scroll and choose one. Let's say Giphy. And then I'm going to search Giphy for Goodfellas because I'm obsessed.
You're almost done though, Ron.
And it will search Giphy and give you a link that you can then text to somebody or put in an email or access or whatever. It's freaking magic. It's so cool. So if I go to Amazon, let's see. So let's say I'm talking to Jason and I was like, oh man, I saw that the, this is all messy now. 1 second. I got to delete this OCD. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do Amazon. So I type slash Amazon space Nexus
6P. And it will search Amazon for Nexus 6Ps. And when I find the result I want, I can drop it right in there. And it gives me a link directly to it. That's pretty cool. You got to admit that. Come on. Nobody, Flo's not impressed.
That's so cool.
I hit slash again. I could do slash pin, and it will automatically share my location. Right? Here I am at Twit. I can't. That's okay to reveal that location. You can slash YouTube, and you can search for Pokemon. So let's say I'm texting with Flo, and we're talking about Pokemons. It will search, and there it goes. I can find a, you know, I want to send her the Pokemon Go.
Super Mario Maker.
Right? So this is pretty cool. So basically, it's integrated services within your keyboard. So imagine as you're texting somebody and you want to find the right animated GIF to send to somebody, you just do slash Giphy and search Giphy, and it sends the link. If you want to, you know, if you're talking about Wikipedia, you're talking about a topic and you want to look something up quickly with Wikipedia, you just do slash Wikipedia slash wiki and then do Pokemon. And it will search Wikipedia and give you a direct link right to the article as a little shortener. I mean, it's really the unlocking the power of the services all through just that one slash button within the context of your keyboard. I love this idea of bringing information. So as previously, and Brian, if you want to come back to me as opposed to my phone, this is boring. Previously, like if I'm in an email and I'm typing something and I want to reference a product on Amazon or an article in New York Times or whatever, as opposed to popping out of the email client, going to Wikipedia, searching for Pokemon, finding the article, hitting the link, going back to the email client, pasting it in. In this case, I just do slash wiki Pokemon. I scroll through the results. I find the article, tap it. It puts the link right in the context of what I'm typing. It keeps you within the app that you're typing within the keyboard, which I think is awesome. Yeah. It's super powerful.
Nice.
So it's called slash keyboard. You can also program your own slashes. So if there are things, there are certain terms that you say a lot, you know, like I often, you know, you constantly say, here's my address. You can do slash address and it'll drop in your address, that sort of thing. Really, really powerful. I'm really interested to see what they do with it. Again, as with any of these keyboards, I really wish that it had swiping capability, like SwiftKey, but it does not. But hopefully they add that down the road. It's just a cool, well done, well powerful keyboard tool that I was impressed by. So slash keyboard, go get it.
Nice, so, I like it.
If anything, for the Giphy integration. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fan, what's up?
I don't know if I can. Can I comment?
Sure, really go for quickly? It. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize you were doing this app. This is actually an app that we built the first version of.
Wow.
For Gem. Yeah.
Serendipity.
Yep. The founder is a brilliant guy. And their team has taken over it's a great, great, great idea.
Well, there you go. There's a, can you think of a better endorsement than Jeff saying it is a great idea?
So this world, this community is so small and tiny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, one of the other
things to mention as well, too, which I guess I can show here, in the settings, you actually can change there's a whole bunch of controls, and I kind of glossed over that, but, you know, of course, you can set the language, you can set capitalization, double spacing a period, which is a millennial, non-millennial thing, whether or not there should be two spaces after a period or not. Vibrate, sounds, like all the things that you want to customize your keyboard for. But they also have themes, so I can change to a material light theme or a hollow theme. When was the last time you saw a hollow theme? You know, but lots of things around text correction. You can block offensive words or turn off autocorrect and things like that. So it's pretty pretty flexible in that regard in terms of how you might want to customize it for your own use.
Sweet.
So, yep.
Slash fantastic. Keyboard. Check it out. And spell slash when you search for that.
Yes. Slash, yeah.
Keyboard.
Slash.
So. Excellent. All right. Florence, you're up next.
We do not double space after a period, by the way.
And I can't not, by the way. Like, absolutely. I cannot write. Like, a friend of mine who was editing a piece I wrote was just like, I had to fix all of those double spaces after your periods. It's like, what do you have to fix? That's how you do it. It's a weird generation gap. Like, it's not Pokemon. It's double spacing after a period.
It's true. So,
there you go.
Well, my app is very simple.
I like
now,
it.
Now, I realize the reason that Ron wins these things because he's really good at selling his apps. So I'm going to try really hard. Come on down to Flo's used app dealership. Here we have SensorSense. It literally just tells you how your sensors are doing on your phone. You could use it for all sorts of things. You could check the barometric pressure of your phone. I am at an altitude of negative 91 meters. That is good to know. Does that mean we're at sea level? Anyway. You could check to see the light.
The ambient light.
The ambient light is fluctuating in the 300s.
Of course. As I would expect.
You could check to see the battery, including its temperature. My battery is running at 27.5 degrees Celsius. That's hot. You could also check on your mobile network. How's it doing? Your location. Here's my longitude and latitude.
It's hard to sell the app when you can't talk.
Your longitude and latitude.
Check on your Wi-Fi, which is good. Yeah. How fast everything is. I don't have Wi-Fi in here. The accelerator. Oh, my God. This thing, like, I was playing with it the other night. Okay. Burp.
Ah!
It just stopped. Okay, you kind of can. Oh, actually, no. It's not acceleration. Sorry. It's gravity?
Magnetic
gyroscope?
Field?
Gyroscope, probably.
Yeah. Magnetic oh, my gosh. Field. Deeps.
Gravity.
Wow. Gravity. Magnetic field. Oh, my God. This was very interesting the other day when I was in my bedroom. I was just, like, going near magnetized things, like.
And seeing it go.
Seeing it, yeah, it was just anyway.
Does it have a Geiger counter?
Oh, should. It should.
Rotation vector tells you. This is really. So this is a really great app if you're a developer and you're trying to like make an app. This is also really good if you're a phone reviewer like me to see how the sensors are going.
This is great.
Right, Jeff? This is good for app Absolutely. Makers.
This is great if you're a developer and you need to make an app.
You could change the theme. There's material and light, which... Gross. Material's way better. Whoa! Meathead Movers just showed up as an ad. You could pay 99 cents. Get rid of the ads. I did not pay 99 cents. Because Flo did not know that she could pay 99 cents. Now she's going to after this. But that's Sensor Sense.
I like it.
Also, nice thing about this is things like... acceleration.
So what is the what is the play button floating action button do when you tap that?
Oh, it starts recording and then you can like do your it goes in the background and then
That's
you
cool.
can go do your thing, which I'm assuming is
something else.
You can do your thing.
I really want to sell this. I'm having a hard time not knowing Android development. But anyway,
that's
so
okay.
Now when you're done. You can save it. You can just like
that's cool though.
Watch
that's
it.
That's a pretty big bonus to this
app. You
have
a little graph
say.
Of how these sensors are working on your phone. I don't know.
See?
I like the fact too that you can like calibrate things on here, which is really great because my GPS is constantly going crazy and not knowing where the heck I am. Mm-hmm. And I really rely on my GPS for getting around town, so I like having that ability.
Nice
sensor. Look at that. It's
like yeah. Oh, I thought you were covering up something. Very cool. I like it.
Oh, and for those of you noobs like me, everything has a description. So the proximity sensor measures the proximity of an object relative to the view screen of the device. Tells you where it's situated. It's next to the front camera, which we know on the Nexus 6P. Tells you what else it's used to determine how far away a person's head is from the face of the handset device. I mean...
Nice.
And then it tells you, like, what values it does. So anyway, good development tool. Also fun just to, like, do at night when you can't fall asleep, which has been me for the last 2 weeks.
Just fire up those sensors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm trying to fall asleep, I just fire up the sensors.
You know.
And then I get tired.
You know.
Okay, so that is Sensor Sense. And it is free with a upgrade to remove the app.
Just upgrade it, guys. Support the devs.
Do it. It's only a buck, right?
It's only a buck. You get that with Google surveys.
Absolutely. Okay, so Jeff, you've got one that I keep meaning to play, so I'm happy that you brought it in here because you can tell me all about it, but you're also telling everybody else all about it. What is your game? And I'll try and show it off while you talk about it.
So the game's called Lifeline. And for those of you who are, if you remember Choose Your Own Adventure apps, a game, books. Oh my God, books. They were books made of paper. they were books that I loved. When you're a kid, you can kind of go through, you choose the ending of the story based on the choices you make while you're reading. This is obviously a bit more advanced than that, but it is, I love a story where you're dropped in the middle of the story. And you have to find out where you are in the story by having the conversation with this person who's just reached out and talked to you at random, seemingly, in the game, right? An interesting piece to it is that it is in real time. So he's asking you for advice while he's stuck in kind of a messed up sort of kind of space horror situation. And when you give him advice and he goes out to figure out what to do, he actually takes the amount of time it would take him. So if he's going out to explore a location, you're not going to receive a message from him for another 5 hours.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like texting back and forth with some kid who is stranded on another planet. And you do really get to a place where you're like, holy cow, is he going to die? You can decide if you want to treat him well, or if you want to just kind of be like, look, if you want to be a jerk. Really, really interesting. I loved this story.
This is cool. This reminds me of the old games, the old computer games I used to play in the 80s and the early 90s, Zork. Like all the Quest games and the like a little bit of Zork, a little bit of Wasteland, a little bit of like the...
Yeah, right, right. You should be able to play these on AOL too, by the way. People choose your own adventure games.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh man, I forgot about that.
Before AOL.
There was a great one I used to play on my Apple II Plus called Law of the West. Where you were you were a new sheriff in town.
I remember that.
Yeah, and you would talk to people. Yeah. Yep. Oh God, it was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I totally remember that. Yeah, what's interesting about this too is you end up getting a notification, so like something will happen, you'll have a notification waiting for you and you hop back in.
There's a sequel too, it looks like.
Yeah, there's a few.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, good times.
Nice.
Good times.
I like it. Use your imagination with this game. Imagination, kids, is where you read words and you build a story in the scene inside your mind. Yep. It's kind of a crazy idea. I know. It's crazy. But it works.
Cool. That's a good game.
Very cool. Lifeline. It's only $1.99. Fantastic choice.
I do like the idea of the real time stuff, and like that always bugged me as a kid playing it, because it'd be like you'd go off in space and you go to some planet, and then I understand that they want to keep you on the computer and be like, boom, you're there. But I'm like, that would take like months to get, you know. So the idea of putting in, like, you know, you don't get a response for several hours, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. All right, so that's Lifeline. Mine is a little free app called Parallel Space. The idea behind Parallel Space is this. Let's say Dropbox is a great example, right? I have a personal Dropbox account, and I have a work Dropbox account. And the way the Dropbox app works, I can only really ever be logged into one account at any given time. What Parallel Space allows me to do is it creates a kind of like a sandbox environment for another instance of that app. So that's my personal. I'll go into Parallel Space. I'll go ahead and create it. I'll pull up my list of apps. And it'll take a second scanning for my apps. I'll go ahead and tap to do Dropbox.
What? Look at that animation.
Nice.
Now I'm going to go in there and I'm going to set it up. So this is a sandboxed environment, isolated from the Dropbox app that's already installed on my device. I'll go in here. It's tapped into everything. Oops. I'm apparently not who I say I am. Okay, sign in. Signing into my work Dropbox account. And I'll go ahead and turn off the camera upload. Skip that anyways. And what do you know? There it is. So now what I can do is if I go into Parallel Space, I can create a shortcut, and now on my desktop, where did it put it? There it is. I'll go ahead and drag it over here. So now I've got my personal, and I'll prove it to you, Reagan01, and I've got my twit.tv.
Nice.
There we go. That's what Parallel Space is all about. If you have an app and you want multiple instances, and the app doesn't allow you to have multiple instances, you have to like manually log in and log out.
This would have been great before Instagram had multiple accounts.
Yes, Instagram was one of the early kind of examples of this.
I can see that now. That just clicked.
Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, this is like awesome because I always access both of these Dropbox accounts, and if you know, and basically what happens is on my phone, I end up not accessing my work one, even though I still need it. I end up finding a laptop because it's just easier than signing out, mm-hmm. signing back in, going through the whole process and all that. So this allows me to have both on my device. It's called Parallel Space, multiple accounts. And I believe, if memory serves, it's free. And yeah, you can do many different apps. Like you can't do more than just like one inside Parallel Space. So I can have one Dropbox instance inside there. But that doubles the amount of times I can install. Very cool. And this also works in like game saves. So if you have a game and you have, you know, let's say it's synced to one account and you want to open it up and start over again and not have it affect your progress on your one, you could throw that game into here and open it up through Parallel Space and start over, and it wouldn't affect your progress in your other installation. So
cool.
Very interesting stuff. It's called Parallel Space.
Good stuff.
All right. So I updated the shortened URL for you, Brian, bit.ly/AAAshow258. bit.ly/AAAshow258. Place your vote on your favorite app this week and let us know which is your favorite. Is it Parallel Space, Slash Keyboard, Sensor Sense, or Lifeline? Place your vote. Let us know where we're at, and we'll check in on it next week.
Some in the chat room just made me laugh. Says they're going to go Inception and create a parallel space inside a parallel space.
Whoa. I wonder if you... No, no, you probably couldn't do that.
I got a good feeling about you, Jason, this week.
I don't know.
It's a good app.
I don't know. We'll see.
You're on a run.
A lot of good apps.
I also noticed you have an app on there that I was considering bringing on today.
Ooh.
I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay, I'm going to have to pour over my installed apps and see which one it is. Jeff, really great having you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us and following our insanity through the bitter end.
You guys are great. This was really enjoyable. Thanks for having me on.
Right on. We would love to have you back. Tell people, I don't know, what do you want to leave people with? Where should people kind of follow the work you're doing, your Twitter ID, all that kind of stuff?
Keep an eye on us on Twitter, TouchLabNY. We have a lot of really interesting things coming, including some secret things that will be interesting to developers soon. So just keep an eye on the Twitter handle. I think that'll be great. The website will also have a lot of that stuff, but I think it'll be on Twitter before it'll be on the website.
Fantastic. Jeff, thank you so much. And we'll invite you back soon. We'd love to have you back.
Thanks, man. I had a great time.
Right on. Ron.
Jeff Rules.
What's up with you?
Not much. Not much is up with me. I'm tired. So you can follow me at about.me/RonXO. There are links to all my social media things, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Google+. I've been lax on the Google+. I got to get back on the Google+ bandwagon. I've been active on the Instagram. That's been my platform of choice.
Can only be so many places at once.
Seriously. Yeah, no, exactly. And of course, got other podcasts. If you're into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, where every week we're reviewing the week's comic books. And check out Goodfellas Minute at goodfellasminute.com, where we're analyzing the film Goodfellas 1 minute at a time. We are in the home stretch. In fact, the second to last recording session is tomorrow.
No way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're very excited because this week we had Matt Gourley, who is of the Super Ego podcast, and I was there too, and James Bonding podcast. He was a great guest. He's on all this week. We're having a ton of fun. But yeah, we're in the last 20 minutes of the movie and trying to figure out if we're going to do anything next.
Just be careful. Yeah, no, don't rush into any snap decisions. Exactly.
Well, I had a meeting this weekend with a mutual friend of ours about a new show that's coming this summer. So
okay. So, alrighty.
Anyway.
Alrighty. Thank you, Ron. Flo, what's up with you?
I'm just working.
Working.
NPCworld.com, Greenbot.com, and you can still follow me at Oh That Flow on Twitter, and I have not been tweeting as much about Bart as I did last week.
Oh, jeez.
It's okay.
It's a lot of Bart.
I know. I got really Bart last week.
I wasn't even in the Bay Area, and I was like, oh, that's a lot of Bart.
You felt it.
I was just from Florida alone. Impact, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was No, I understand.
You spend a good portion of your day on it.
And
so
money.
It's, yeah. Yeah. So.
And tax dollars. Yeah. But anyway.
Oh That Flow on Twitter. Brian, what about you?
You can find me on Know How on Thursdays and Mondays. Also, Flo, great job on Screensavers on Saturday.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun to do. I also TD that show. But otherwise, you can follow me at Cranky_Hippo on Twitter.
And do. I'm about.me/JasonHowell.
YellowGoldMusic.com for music things, and that's about it. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for watching. As always, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, though you never do, but you should because you probably get on if you keep it under 60 seconds. Email and video at AAA@twit.tv. We get plenty of emails, so you'll probably get on there if you do that as well. Twitter at Android Show. We have a subreddit. It's twitaaa.reddit.com. We have all of our show notes and past episodes. The most important place to go is twit.tv/AAA. Everything is posted there as we release it, basically. And you can catch us live every Tuesday right around 5:30 p.m. Pacific, twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Jazz hands.